Hello and welcome to another one of Dr. Jane's 10-Minute Positive Mental Health Podcasts. Now, in today's podcast, I wanted to talk about, it's a family relationship thing, and it's about sisters, and it's about one sister kind of manipulating, not so much the other sister, although she kind of, you know, there are effects of that, but it's actually the sister manipulating the parents. Now, give you a background, we'll call these two sisters Rose and Alex. And Alex was the older sister, and she was the one that had come to see me some time ago. And the problem was that she was just getting completely fed up with what was going on in her life, because she'd always been the, you know, in inverted commas, the good girl. She'd been the one that had, you know, gone to university and had done all the good things and all the, you know, all the right things, shall we say. Hadn't really caused the mum and dad too much hassle over the years. But her younger sister, Rose, had been typical, and I've spoken about this before, the same sex second child syndrome, which is, you know, the first one gets all the good roles, is the good girl, is the one that achieves, isn't too much problem. The second child comes along, you know, and this happens when they're children, when they're absolute tiny infants. The second one comes along and thinks, well, you've got all the good roles. What's my role in life? And, oh, I'll be the bad one. And it's the roles that kind of, they adopt themselves, but also kind of get given to them as well. And if you think about people you know, maybe people in your family, maybe this is your situation, there will be not too much of a dig around before you actually can identify what I'm talking about when I say same-sex second child syndrome. If we think of famous examples, if we think of, you know, Prince William and Prince Harry, perfectly lovely, decent, nice guys, but who was the one that was the pain in the backside growing up? If you take it up a generation, I think it's the same thing for, you know, their dad, Prince Charles, and his younger brother, Prince Andrew. It's you know, there was a sister in between, obviously, but it's the same kind of principle. It's that whole, you know, one is the heir and one is the spare. And we're talking about in royal circles, but actually this is exactly the same in kind of familiar circles as well. So, yes, there was Rose and there was Alex. And Alex had gone through university, got married, had the children, etc., etc. Rose, of course, had had very many different relationships. She'd had children with a couple of guys. The reliance was always on the mum and dad to help. They had to help with childcare all the time. They had to care with had to help with finances all the time. They always had to help, no matter what. They always had to help, and it drove Alex absolutely crackers, because she just got on with life, and it was just, she just found it really manipulative. And but she could, and the thing that distressed her most was the fact that when she would mention this in a nice way, you know, the mum and dad would just kind of be a bit dismissive about it, and they'd always go, oh, well, you know what your sister's like. They would always go, well, you know what your sister's like, as if that was an excuse to carry on the behaviour, because all they were doing was reinforcing Rose's dependence on them when it suited her, and the fact that, you know, there was a kind of this issue, this, you know, it just reinforced, you know, all that did was reinforce Rose's dependency on them when it suited her, and kind of hacked Alex off even more. So what we did, we had a look at what was going on. The thing that kind of was the tipping edge for Alex was when mum and dad had written their wills and decided and told Alex, well, you're okay, you know, you'll always be all right, you're, you know, you've married well, you've got your career, you're sorted out. Oh, poor Rose, she's a bit stuck, she's always going to be a bit stuck. So when it comes to our wills, we're going to kind of make it more biased towards her, because she'll always need our help. And it's not as if Alex was a selfish person, or she wanted, you know, stuff to come to her or anything, in any respect whatsoever. But it was just, she couldn't seem to make them understand, and it was so frustrating for her. And this is why she initially came, because she was getting angry all the time. And of course, she was getting angry at her own family, the people that kind of listened to her, you know, her children, her husband. But she knew that was the wrong type of people to kind of get angry to. So what we did was we looked at it from the parents' point of view. So, you know, there was anger issues, you know, that Alex admitted that she had, and we did a little bit of work about that. But this was the kind of the result of the anger issues. And it wasn't just the will, and it wasn't just the last time that the parents took Rose and her children on holiday. It wasn't just the last time that they paid for her food shopping or paid her rent or anything. This had been an accumulative thing since as long ago as Alex could remember. So what we did, we looked at the parents, what we call secondary gain. What were they gaining out of this? What were they gaining? And it didn't take Alex that long to kind of, because she'd so kind of got so involved with what was going on, you know, in her head and sort of like everything, she'd kind of lost sight of the bigger picture. And what she did was she actually identified very quickly that her mum and dad enjoyed their role. Now, I'm always talking about, in therapy and with my podcast as well, I'm always talking about a drama triangle. So if you can imagine an inverted triangle, with at the bottom you have the victim, at the top right-hand side you have the persecutor, and at the top left-hand side you have the rescuer. And this is a classic situation of Rose always being the victim when it suits her, because if there were occasions where it didn't suit her to be the victim and she wanted to go off on holiday or get together with somebody and people were saying, oh no, perhaps that's not the thing to do, that didn't suit her and she'd just go ahead and do it. But more often than not, especially where the parents were concerned, she would be the victim of her circumstances, the victim of her lack of education, the victim of her, you know, her rent not being paid, whatever. She was always the victim. And you know, and sometimes that would be the persecutor, the rent needed paying. She didn't get enough money from her exes or whatever. There'd just be loads of things. And in this corner over here, the most important corner here is the rescuer. And what would happen is Rose would make mum and dad her rescuer, and they would go, brilliant, okay, let's rescue you. You cannot have a victim without a, you can't be a rescuer without a victim. You can't be a victim without a persecutor. And, you know, you can see how this goes. And often when Alex would point these things out to mum and dad, she'd be the one that would instantly be given the role as being the persecutor, because Rose, of course, would then, you know, phone her up, scream at her and say, why are you making them even think about not helping me out all the time? So we looked really deeply at what was going on for the role of mum and dad in this. They wanted to be the rescuer. They wanted to be the sorter outer. And, you know, I got Alex to just kind of go back a generation, which is always kind of quite interesting, and what their situation was. And it turns out that it wasn't so dissimilar to each other. Mum and dad had both come from situations where, you know, our dad had come from a big family. Mum was, I think she was an only child. But there was always a sense of, you know, not kind of, that's how they kind of got together and gelled together in the first place. There was always that sense of kind of something missing, not quite right in their situation. Dad felt he'd kind of been ignored because he came from a big family. Mum kind of felt equally that she'd been ignored because she felt that her mum and dad, you know, weren't really up for having children, and they had children for, you know, whatever the reason. But that's why they kind of were, if you like, they were kind of the victims of their background. And often, you know, the rescuers are the people that want to be rescued themselves. But then they just transfer this all on to their very dependent second daughter, whilst ignoring the first daughter, Alex, and hence her coming to see me. So what we did, she spoke to her mum and dad about it, because, you know, they realised that this was a serious situation. And she started to get them to identify and acknowledge what they were doing for Rose all the time, instead of it was just, oh, that's just Rose and it's what she does and we'll just, you know, just onward. They started to properly identify what they were doing and acknowledge what they were doing, and not cut her off and not cut her adrift or anything like that, but properly identify it. And one of the things that helped them was they had a notebook and they would write down everything. Rose saw this notebook. She was livid, as you can imagine. Why the hell are you writing all this down? You're their grandparents. Don't you want to help your children out? Or instantly you're back in the rescuer situation. Of course we do. But we just want to take note of exactly what we're doing. It was quite often, as you can imagine, about the finances. And after a very short time, they realised quite how much money they were spending on Rose. They knew, because of course their bank balance was showing them that they were spending money, but it wasn't being properly identified as to why. Now, this is kind of where Alex's temper and her anger were, you know, because she was being listened to and she was being understood by what was going on, it started to, you know, lower. She was getting back to her old self. And that's kind of, you know, where we left that situation, that it was an ongoing thing, that the mum and dad were, you know, if you like, even just to keep Alex happy, keeping an eye on what was going on. And as much as they were kind of, you know, she said there were times where, of course, she knew that they paid, you know, there was a situation with, you know, Rose's car or something. She knew that they paid for that, but they hadn't kind of identified it. So it was a bit, you know, but then she said, as it went on, they were taking more and more responsibility for what they were doing. So it was an ongoing situation. Rose, of course, was livid about it and was trying to manipulate the situation, and probably always will, because that's how she'd been brought up. So it's not to, you know, make excuses for her, but it's to kind of get some kind of understanding as to where she is coming from and where Alex was having to deal, where she was coming from, factoring in the parents. And she said that she was hoping that they would, you know, think about their will. Not that she, again, particularly wanted it because she wanted the money. She just wanted the fairness and for them to understand it. And she was making headway in that. I have been Dr. Jane. This has been a 10-minute positive mental health podcast. If you like what you have seen or heard, if you go to drjane.co.uk/podcast, there's a whole library there. There's all sorts of things for all sorts of people. It might be you, it might be somebody you know. But take a look and have a listen and have a download. And I will speak to you again very, very soon.